This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Roshan-Kanison and Noel Lim. It is 6 a.m. Wednesday, the 30th of December. And tomorrow is actually the last working day of the year. Isn't that strange?
I don't know, Lynn. Time passes day by day. And eventually, every year we come
year
to this point.
This year is strange. Yeah, it has been strange.
The concept of
year.
Time has been a bit weird this year, right? Because work plays such a big role in that going to the office and coming back. It's that big chunk of your day. And with that being more fragmented throughout the day and the week, it has kind of made the concept of how days pass by very weird. That's just me. But I definitely felt like time was fast and slow at the same time this year.
How do you feel, though, the both of you, going into this end-of-year period?
Yes, I was thinking about it. Actually, I know a lot of people seem to say, like, oh, we are looking forward to 2021. And I'm thinking, I'm actually going to miss 2020 because it felt like I've been living in a bubble because we had to sort of, you know, isolate ourselves to some extent, right? I felt that I don't want to leave this bubble now. I actually want to just stay in there. It's my comfort zone. So I'm actually thinking that I'm going to actually miss this year, which is quite strange because in previous years, I'd be like, oh, okay, this year was okay. Let's move on to the next year. But this year, I feel a bit nostalgic, actually.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm looking at the 2021 door, ready to scan my Mysajatra and walk through it. And obviously, keeping both fingers and one set of toes crossed, because I don't want to offset the crossing, right? You don't want to do all four, because you've uncrossed the crossing of fingers.
I've never heard of that. I just cross everything.
No, that's just the jumble of information that's coming out of my brain this morning. But hey, you know what's not a jumble of information, Lynn? The show. We always got a great day lined up for you.
We do indeed. And this morning, at about 6:30, we're looking at what's happening internationally. So what are the stories that we have on the agenda, Noel?
Well, looking at China and EU, as well as what's happening in the US about the stimulus checks.
Okay, so that's going to be happening after the 6:30 news in about half an hour. What else do we have, Roshan?
Well, before I talk about what we're going to be talking about in 15 minutes, I want to shout out to the fact that in about an hour, we're going to be talking about the biggest IPOs in Malaysia. That's happening at 7:15. And at about 7:30, we'll be taking a look at the tech sector in 2021, what to pay attention to. So some things you might want to pay attention to if you are particularly interested in stocks and the like. But closer to home, Lynn, closer to where we are right now. In 15 minutes, we're going to be talking about priority overload. How do you manage it? What are the ways that you can use, or what are the ways you can relieve it? Because sometimes it feels like there's just too much to do and too little time.
If you want to weigh in on these conversations, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us over at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we're asking you how you plan your life, paper or digital. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was the Foo Fighters with Next Year, jumping the gun slightly there, considering tomorrow's only New Year's Eve, not quite the new year. But nevertheless, 2021's just around the corner. You're listening to The Morning Run, of course. Lynn, Roshan and Noel with you this morning. And we are taking a look at an article in Fast Company talking about paper planners. And this is making the argument that paper planners are the best way to stay organized in 2021, gives you a list of planners that you might potentially be interested in using, but it is an interesting proposition, right? Because I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that I've actually never quite been able to find one organization, like traditional organization system, that completely works for me. I've tried bullet journaling, I've tried using, you know, completely digital planners like Notion, and ultimately I find that I actually just the easiest way to do it is just me and a calendar, really.
I love tech. I love digital. But the last few years have given me a growing appreciation for paper, really.
There's something tactile about it that's quite satisfying, I find.
Okay, I'm going to read one sentence here from this article we're taking a look at, right? Every time I open my phone to do one thing, I fall down a rabbit hole, checking Instagram, replying to texts. Wait, what did I need to do again? Every day. I face that every day. I try to use my phone to organize any tasks, right? And I find that sometimes the simplest way is to just, so I have a notebook, I open up to the two-page spread, and I divide it into 7 columns. So that's my 1 week, right? And I do my tasks there. And that has been very effective. I've got my calendars for appointments and things like that, but having all of that on one page to look at and move around easily and very, what is very organically in a lot of ways, right, has made it more effective. I don't need a tool that can remind me as I enter the office if I'm not going to actually use it or utilize it properly. And that's the gift and the curse of the phone, of the smartphone, right? It can do so much. But with that, it also, there's a Pavlovian signal to other things that we want to do on our phone as well. So sometimes we get so distracted or we get other messages. There's none of that with a paper planner. You open the book, it's everything you need to do. You keep it open, it's always there. And it's really helped me focus, especially this year.
As I'm looking down this article, right, Fast Company, why paper planners are the best way to stay organized in 2021. And I'm going through this list and I'm thinking, wow, this is a wet dream for all lovers of stationery, right? If anything, it will be great stationery. And because one of my priorities next year is to save money. So I look
this is
at
not
this,
the list to look
yes,
at.
Yes, and when I'm looking at this list, I'm like, okay, should I break my first priority and, you know, spend money?
It's not even 2021 yet and you're throwing it out the
yes,
window.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so I'm thinking, okay, I'll go back to pen and paper. But, you know, it gives you some interesting ideas how you want to reformat mm-hmm. your you know, that blank piece of paper you have on in your diary, right? You know, what columns you write and all that. So I think what has worked for me is that I've been also thinking about these goals because I do struggle achieving some goals. Like I do not know why I procrastinate and all that, right? So I finally concluded I have too many goals. And maybe in a day I should just focus on two things and you know, so keeping that list short. And then how would I structure my planner that way?
You know, Noel, that's exactly it, right? Because when we do it, when we put on our calendar, we overestimate how much we can do in the day. Or even if you're doing it in a task app, when I put it in, it's okay, this is a bit of like data analytics, right? So after 4 weeks of looking at how many times I had to move appointments and tasks, I realized, okay, I can do after the show maybe 2-3 big things after that, right? Anything else regularly gets pushed onwards because there are always things that you don't expect to come up. And we always assume in our planning, in our dream to become a Japanese factory of just continuous production, we have given no room or margin for error, which has become an even more of a pressing issue this year. So having that on paper allows you to also look back, because the phone is sometimes a black box. You don't look back and study what you've done. It's more of just like, oh, what's looking forward? I find that the paper journal and just a simple thing, you can buy any notebook and do this. You don't have to go and buy nice ones, although I do like nice ones. And it allows you to review. And that can be very powerful. Think of it as data science for yourself.
So I sympathize with you, Noel, a little bit, because I am a massive stationery nerd as well. And I'm like my father in the sense that we love to collect notebooks, but using them is a little bit of a different issue.
It's nice to have them on a shelf, though.
It's nice to have them on a shelf. At one point, I had two full shelves of notebooks. You know,
we should come and raid your house.
I eventually decided to give them away because, you know, they were sitting there and doing nothing. But anyway, that's not the point of this conversation, right? I actually find that one of the difficulties for me with using a paper journal for daily organization is that it lacks the kind of neat and tidy framework that digital gives you. Because when I'm trying to make sense of the mess of priorities that's in my head, putting it, you know, a blank paper sometimes seems very daunting. And I find it very difficult to just write down a whole long list and then have to scratch things out. You know, the messiness of it gets to me, and I find that I prefer not to use it in the end. I find it easier to list things down on a task list, a digital task list, put them in my calendar kind of straight away. So in that sense, I kind of veer more towards digital rather than actually using these paper planners, although, you know, I love them for how nice they are.
Yeah, see, but the paper planner is not just about task doing, right? It's about hindsight and foresight. When you put everything on that paper, you can plan ahead. Hindsight and foresight. Oh, great. So let's reverse a little bit then.
It's another talk set.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, if you're like Lynn and you're not sure how to customize your own notebook, I highly encourage you to check out this YouTube channel by Matt Raglan, MattRagland. He's the bullet journal guy. I love his stuff. Now, I think he just made a simple 2021 starter kit, how to start using bullet journal in 2021. He's helped me a lot in terms of organizing my mind. And I don't do everything he does because he's super up there in the world when it comes to the bullet journal life. But there's a lot to learn from just the simple stuff.
Yes, just very quickly. I know that, you know, we're going on and on about how this thing about planning and all that. I can tell you one person definitely does a lot of planning, and that's Queen Elizabeth. And she also keeps a paper planner.
Oh, that's an interesting factoid.
It's in the article here.
Okay, well.
I've actually been looking for a pocket-sized notebook that I can keep with me at all times because sometimes my little bigger notebook, I know I can't carry it all over the place.
That's what a phone is for, Roshan.
No.
Okay, well, let us know what you think about this. Do you prefer digital or paper when it comes to planning your daily activities? Let us know what you think. WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we are looking at the subject of priority overload and how to avoid it. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen, and Noel Lim. That was David Bowie with Changes. And there a lot of things have changed this year, but some things still stay the same. And that is the fact that the end of the year usually comes with a lot of things on your plate, right? Because it's for many, the holiday season from kind of November up until December. So you have family things to plan for. You also have work projects that are wrapping up, you know, as you head into the end of the year, everyone wants to see whether your KPIs have been hit. Team projects are starting to be, you know, ramped up so that they finish before the new year ticks over. And that can lead sometimes to something called priority overload, right? So we were talking just now about planners and how you need, whether or not you prefer the paper one or the digital one to plan your life. Well, that's probably more important, you know, in these few months than ever, as you try and get a handle on all of the things that you need to do. So, you know, when it comes to you guys, right, what do you do to handle this priority overload as we head into the ends of the year?
Paper. Pen, take it out, open the notebook, just write things down. But I think it's not something that you immediately get, right? Because it took me some time to kind of learn my limits on a daily basis because, again, so much of the time we assume that we can optimize 101% of our productive capacity in the day when that's completely and utterly false. Because more often than not, something else is going to come in your way. And that adds to the priority overload. You have to leave yourself, or at least try your best, to leave yourself a little bit of wiggle room to take on the fires that start regularly throughout the week. And that's where using that 1 week, having that two-page spread with that 1 week, listed out, as well as the few other days before that, few other weeks before that, allows me to kind of do the data science from the last few weeks and be like, okay, consistently I can get these three kind of tasks done on a daily basis without much of a hitch. So yes, some days it's only one because other things have come into play, but it gives you that review, right? And I honestly do believe that if you don't review what you've done before, the priorities just get way too overwhelming and to a point where your brain explodes.
I find this article by the FT on priority overload, I really resonate with it because when I look at my list and sometimes I find myself doing all the simple stuff, you know, I tick that off quickly, right? Then, but at the end of the day, I still feel very tired and I'm thinking, have I actually accomplished anything at all? And so I realized that maybe I'm setting too many goals and I'm not prioritizing them properly. And why am I not prioritizing them properly? Am I not thinking through them? Like, should I really need to do this? Mm-hmm. And I realized maybe to some extent it is about that. Then one day I read about this thing about acceptance and commitment therapy. Now, it sounds like, you know, it's such a big word, right? But it's a therapy that psychologists use with clients to help them commit to goals. Like, for example, if you have an addiction challenge, so how do you commit to a goal to wean yourself off that addiction? So they use, therapies like that, acceptance and commitment therapy. So, but a fundamental thing about this ACT is that it focuses, your priority should be based on your values. So does this priority support your value? So if your value is something, being kind is a value. Mm. So are your priorities, sync to that?
Line?
To kindness, yeah. Mm. So charity, for example, could be a priority instead of putting that at the bottom of the list. And then when you realize that you are following your priorities based on your values every day, it's very driven. So your life becomes values driven and therefore it has more meaning.
Okay, that's an interesting thing to keep in mind, actually, because I find that when it comes to particularly the end of the year, rather than being value driven, I actually just find myself being increasingly task driven, and that builds a lot of stress, right? So particularly I do this thing usually at the start of the month where I'll be scheduling kind of what needs to happen over the course of that month. And sometimes when it's December or November and there are family events every weekend, I have to do this, I have to do that, I also have to get this done for work. Just looking at it all on a calendar actually can really send me into a stress spiral, because suddenly the magnitude of all that I need to get done in that month seems very overwhelming. But so what I find that I have to do is I just have to remind myself that you really do have to take it day by day sometimes. When it comes down to it, when you focus on the task at hand, finish it, get it done off your plate, it's actually not as bad as you built it up to be in your head.
Or on the reverse side of that, maybe it is that bad, but you're not going to get over it by keeping that drawer closed. You have to mm-hmm. open it and deal with it at some point. And even if it's a little, it's same thing with debt, right? It's anything, any kind of issues that you have in your life, ignorance is not going to solve it. You need to get it done. You need to start somewhere.
And I think that's important. You need to start, because mm-hmm. a lot of the times we put it off and put it off and put it off until it becomes this mountain of an activity.
It becomes like Mount Everest.
Yeah, that you have to scale.
Yes. So on that note, in the spirit of giving, as we just came off Christmas, heading into 2021, I'm going to recommend a book, Atomic Habits by James Clear. Great book if you want to get started on great habits, because, or even simple habits, because he breaks it down in such a simple, easy way. Sometimes habits can feel like this Mount Everest that you can't climb, but realize that the way he breaks down is, why you go climb Mount Everest first? Don't do that. Climb Gassing Hill first. You know, do one thing at a time.
Even that seems like a challenge.
Then climb up the Taman Tun, like the walkway.
Walk up the slight incline, you climb know,
up,
on your street.
Climb up one flight of stairs and then you build up from there. So great book to read if you're looking for something to kick off the new year.
All right. And let us know what you think about this as well. How do you avoid priority overload? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're about to head into the 6:30 news, and here to take you there is Baby I Love You by the Ramones, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Dreams Tonight by Always, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 6:39 in the morning, Wednesday the 30th of December, and we are looking at what's been happening in the international news this morning. And top of our list is the fact that China and the EU appear to be on the verge of a major investment deal. So this pact, which is expected to be finalized this week, will give EU firms better access to the Chinese market as well as improve competition conditions. These are talks that began way back in 2014, but a number of issues, including rising trade tensions in the US and China, have thrown the fate of these talks into a little bit of a question.
Yeah, so it's quite an interesting development, I guess, for the EU. Definitely the boost that they need from economic fronts. But I think what will happen, though, the devil is in the details, because the EU is very concerned about things like ESG, right? Environment, social and governance. And so, and China's track record in human rights issues, it's not exactly that great. So I wonder whether this might be an issue that will come up in further discussions as we go forth next year.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, right? But according to multiple reports here, the deal would open up China's manufacturing sectors to EU companies, as well as construction, advertising, air transport, and telecoms. And it's interesting that it comes after, right now, the UK and the EU, if you join them together, they're going to EQ, but both the UK and the EU are basically working out what their futures look like, right? How their trading partners look like as a bloc. The EU still has its partnerships, of course, but the UK is also trying to form its own trade relations, its own independent trade relations. So it's going to be interesting to see how the EU tries to ramp up its own economic prowess going forward, because the UK was a big part of that. Yes, they have Germany, but let's not underestimate the presence the UK had as part of the EU.
Yeah, so this is something that is going to be quite interesting to watch. And of course, the other thing that we have been watching over the past couple of days is the progress of the proposal for the US to institute larger stimulus checks to Americans. And so it appears now in the latest news that the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has blocked an immediate vote on the $2,000 stimulus checks and has said that instead the Senate will begin a process to consider larger payments along with some of the other demands issued by President Trump. Now, if you remember, these checks were initially supposed to be $600, but then when it when it actually landed on President Trump's table, he surprised everyone by calling for larger checks and for several days refused to sign the bill into law. By the time he finally signed it, it appeared that the mood had shifted and Senate Democrats had tried to push through a vote to raise the check balance, essentially, to $2,000 instead of $600.
Yeah, it's really interesting what's happening in Congress right now, because at the same time, you've got the Democrats working with the Republicans to override Trump's veto on the other bill, I think, the defense bill, because Donald Trump wants a certain, the Section 230 legal liability portion. He wants to change that as part of that defense bill. And I don't think the Senate's on board for that at this point. So there is a bit of like a three-way war going on. The Democrats and Trump agree on the $2,000 stimulus checks, which Senate Republicans don't agree with. Mitch McConnell doesn't agree with. But at the same time,
some have started calling for it, though, which has thrown it kind of into limbo even further.
All that matters is whether Senate leader Mitch McConnell wants it. That's the be-all and all when it comes to this, because they're not going to, the Senate Republicans are unlikely to cross that line, right? Because anyway, for a variety of reasons. But so you've got that on one side. On the other side, the Senate Republicans and Democrats work together on the 230 on the defense bill, because they want to get that passed without Trump's veto. So this is going to be, this is probably not the end of the year, the end of the year kind of rundown that they wanted. But at the same time, let's not forget that this probably plays into the Georgia runoff races next week, probably play into this larger scheme of things, right? So what does it mean that the Senate is going against the current president, right? Because Trump is the de facto leader of the Republican Party. Is he going to withdraw his support for the candidates in the Senate Georgia races? How is that going to play out? Is there some kind of push and pull going on within the party?
Well, it looks like there are still going to be some carry forward issues into next year, which is next week. And so the final vote will take place next week. And if the Senate seconds the House action, I think this bill on the defencing will become law. And you'll be the first, I think, veto override of Trump's presidency.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting indeed. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate because ideally, you'd like to have all of these things sorted way before the end of the year, right? And there were hopes over a new stimulus in the US. There have been hopes there for months. And the fact that it has held on so long is not really great for the American people. But at least we have seen some strides in progress towards that $900 billion deal.
And to add more complications in here, you've got Bernie Sanders, right? So who is basically, the statement he made was, this week on the Senate floor, Mitch McConnell wants to vote to override Trump's veto of the defense funding bill and then head home for the new year. I'm going to object until we get a vote on legislation to provide a $2,000 direct payment to the working class. So all of them are pushing across their agendas, and I don't know what's going to happen here, because even if the Congress passes the bill, it goes to the Senate and vice versa. It sounds a bit messy, but I guess this is what you get in legislative houses. I think we don't have to look too far to realize the complications that can arise.
And very quickly as well, there has been a flare-up in a COVID-19 outbreak in Thailand and has swept almost two-thirds of the country. Now, we've been talking recently about the fact that the government's considering opening our borders to green lane countries. Thailand was one of the first to open borders in this way. But very recently, they had a spate of infections starting from a seafood vendor who tested positive for COVID 2 weeks ago. The virus has now spread to about 60% of Thailand's 77 provinces. So what measures the Thai government will now take to address this? They're already starting to make moves to tighten it, but it doesn't seem like a broad lockdown is on the cards yet. We will have to wait and see. But right now, we're about to head into some messages, and then up next, looking at the front pages of our own papers and portals. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Now, we've had some social media responses this morning to what we've been discussing. Ro has said on the question of paper or digital when it comes to planning, paper over digital. Paper doesn't require a battery, and comparatively, ink or lead is endless.
Yep, I completely agree with you, Ro. And it's also therapeutic as well, I find it. And but that said, I do appreciate having digital as part of it, right? It's kind of having that hybrid system, but paper being the front runner of that system. We've also got Michelle Kong, who WhatsApped in a bit earlier and asking about the book I mentioned. And we told her Atomic Habits by James Clear, in case you missed it. And if you ever want to get in touch with us again on WhatsApp, the number is 018-789-8899.
And realistically, if you want any more book recommendations, I'm sure Roshan has a lot more for you.
You should put a blog on this, right? In BFM. BFM's website.
Resolution. Goals for 2021, maybe.
Top 10 recommendations. You know, like Bill Gates does it, Jeff Bezos. Wow.
Roshan, is the Bill Gates of BFM, is that what you're saying?
Of course, you know, of course.
So let's talk about the papers.
No pressure. Let's take a look at what's happening here. So I have the Star in front of me, and their front page is grouses over costs. So apparently employers are urging the government to regulate the antigen rapid test service fee in order to prevent indiscriminate charges and profiteering, as it appears that testing costs have gone up since the screening for foreign workers was made mandatory in six high-risk states. So that, of course, is definitely a concern, because ultimately this is for the wider public good as well. But the front page picture is of a pothole on the Star. We know why this is being talked about, right? Because the Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation, Khairi Jamaluddin, had an accident.
Fell into a pothole.
Yeah, his bike hit a pothole and he crashed into a ditch. And apparently, he lost consciousness for a bit. He had to go in and get a CAT scan and things. So it was a reasonably bad accident, but he's all right. And I think our friends over on the Evening Edition did speak to him as well. So you can find that on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. What's the title, Roshan?
Well, the title is Pothole Problem. Does it take a minister's injury? So that's something to check out. I think it was a good conversation. I've got the Malaysian Reserve in front of me, and I think some pretty big news for the auto industry, and something that was, I think, highly anticipated. And it took them till two days before the new year to announce it. The tax incentives, the SST tax incentive for the auto industry, has been extended. And this is likely to have a big impact, because, you know, if I took a look at some of the analyst reports earlier from the month, the difference, so we've seen the last 6 months a surge in vehicle purchases, right? So average vehicle sales in July to October were around 56,000 units a month. That's 11% higher on year, considering everything that was going on. So low interest rates are one thing, but the SST exemption had really brought up that demand. And basically, when you take a look at the TIV for 2020, the total industry volume for 2021, the difference between having that SST stimulus and not is around 70,000 units for the year, which would bring the average from 50,000 units to 45,000 units. So this is going to be a stimulus for them, for the auto industry, for the first 6 months. And a lot of this, if you take a look at the Malaysian Reserve front page, they've gone with the headline, Proton X50 delivery dragged by CMCO. Overwhelming demand. This is that thing you're seeing now, right? Because the SST exemption doesn't apply to you if you only get your car in the new year. So hopefully this then gets all those orders. They have been slowing orders, so hopefully that solves that problem.
Looking at the New Straits Times, they have been following this meat issue, the halal meat issue, very closely. I think for the last few days they've been covering this story. So they have gone to speak to some traders of imported beef, and traders are complaining. They say they are making, they're having this problem. They're struggling to make ends meet over since the activities of a meat cartel passing off non-certified imported meat as halal beef were exposed recently. So they say they've been having problems. There's so much stock left, nobody's buying. However, hypermarkets and retail chains claim that they have not been affected. Sales is still fine for imported beef. Very interesting. And also the Malay Consultative Council, MPM, they have called for a major reshuffling of the JAKIM department over its perceived failure to protect Muslim consumers in guaranteeing the distribution of halal meat in the country. That this MPM is also is led by Tun Hanif Omar, our former IGP. He says JAKIM should relieve itself from its role in handling the issuance of halal certificate. Well, I guess if they relieve the role, then who's going to take over, right? So Hanif is also calling for the veterinary service department to face similar action. There should be some, heads should roll because of this. Why were they lax in allowing non-halal meat to be in our country?
Yeah, so very quickly as well, the Star, page 2, has a story on this. And this is comments from the Deputy Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister, Dr. Russell Wahid, who says that tests on frozen meat taken from the warehouse of the meat cartel under investigation showed they're not pork, horse or kangaroo meat. So this was the outcome of tests carried out by the chemistry department. So, and he says it's a relief to everyone involved. So I guess we'll see how this story develops. We'll be keeping a close watch on it. But right now we are heading into the 7 o'clock news bulletin. And then after that, more business news and analysis. But first, some music. Here is Brian Ferry with Let's Stick Together, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.